Oh, take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Micah. And Pastor Jim Davidson, we've known each other since 1995 in the Navy, stationed on board the wonderful USS Stump. And I remember getting there shortly after we got there. It was a little destroyer ship with about 300 people on there. And I'm a young Christian, recently been saved, trying to live for the Lord. And we go out to sea for 6 months, and we run into each other shortly after. I found out he's a Christian that loves the Lord, and I said, let's start a Bible study. And I said, you know, you're a wise man. You start it, Brother Jim. And he says, no, you start it. And we basically started that Bible study together, and really a miracle. God's hand has been on Pastor Jim for years. And that Bible study, it grew from 2 people to 5 people to 10 people to 15 people. And there were times we had over 30 people out of 300 come to that Bible study on the ship. And it was a miracle. And boy, I grew. You're married. Mrs. Davidson sent tapes, you know, not CDs, not MP3s, but these things called tapes. And, you know, you probably don't even understand. I won't even go into detail there. But we'd go and we would sing together. And there was this place called Repair 8. Do you remember? And I learned, Be Thou My Vision. And there we were, two young 20-year-olds, Repair 8, the ship full of, you know, these men, these Navy men. We'd, Be Thou My Vision. It was terrible. But it was good. And praise the Lord. And by the way, God is on this place. Look at this. Maranatha Baptist Church. This is a miracle, and I'm thankful for your hard work. I'm thankful for your family. God has been good. I want to introduce my wife Mandy, if you'll raise your hand. We've been married since 2001. We have 12 children, and she says we have 13, but I try to stick with 12, and praise the Lord. We have, I believe, 8 of our children with us. We've lost one on the way, but that's okay, and praise the Lord. Micah. The book of Micah, I'm glad you are there. I had it, I lost it, but I'm finding it again. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, and praise the Lord. Who studies the book of Micah? You know, Sunday school, who even likes that old minor prophet Micah? Well, I do and you do. We love the Bible, don't we? It's God's word. We don't like Micah, that member of, I think he was in, was he? No, he wasn't in the choir, was he? Where'd Micah go? There he is. I don't like you. And praise the Lord. I tried to be nice to you early this morning. You were just like mean to me. And so I said, you know, I was trying to drum it up a little bit. I said, you know, during the thing, if you could say an amen every once in a while. He said, I don't believe in amens. And so you didn't say that. And so praise the Lord. It's going to be good. Do good laws. Have you ever heard of do good laws? Do good laws. In Alaska, there was a young 11-year-old girl who was at the Anchorage Amusement Park where they had a lion. And she got a little bit too close and actually fell in with a 300-pound lioness named Cleo. And that lion attacked her, grabbed on her arm. And there was a state trooper that was there at the park. He took out his gun and he shot the lion in the head, saved her life. And as the lion fell over, he fell over, the gun went off, and it actually shot the girl. And she was wounded in her thigh. She didn't die, but she was wounded. And later on, that girl, her parents sued not only the amusement park, but sued the state trooper. And, you know, in the court, they mentioned do-good laws where he was doing something good and he couldn't be held liable for trying to do something good. And but it's interesting, though, do-good laws are a part of 40 states, and there's actually, in the state of Georgia, doesn't partake in the do-good laws. In 1966, there was a young child swimming in a private pool and actually drowned, and the owner of the pool had refused to help, and he was actually sued for his refusal to help, and it's just an interesting, sad story about what happened there. Do-good laws, but what is good? And you think about that. How could somebody be sued for trying to help out a young girl getting attacked by a lion? We know we're not saved by our good works. You know, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we know we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. We're not saved by our goodness. But the book of Micah, Micah chapter 6, I think gives the best definition of what is good. And let's read these verses right here. Micah chapter number 6, starting in verse number 6. I'll start reading if you'll follow along. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Read verse 8 with me. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Woo, that's a good verse right there. What doth the Lord require thee? What is good? And right here in Micah chapter number 6, verse number 8, I believe gives the best definition of good. Before we go any further, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we love you, Lord. And I love Pastor Jim Davidson, his wife, his family, Lord. I love this church, Maranatha Baptist Church. I just see your hand of blessing upon not only the pastor, but the people here. And Lord, what an awesome opportunity they have here in the city of Shelby to reach a city with the good news of how you died on the cross for their sins. But Lord, I pray that you help us today to think about what good is. We want to do good in our lives. We're saved by your blessed, precious blood, but we're also commanded to do good. And Lord, I pray that you help us to see this verse, the book of Micah, have a little bit more understanding this morning. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. What is good? By the way, the book of Micah, you know, like I said, who reads the book of Micah? Who even likes the book of Micah? Who likes Micah in general? I don't know. Not many people, but we do. Of course we do. The book of Micah is an amazing book. You know, it has words like this. Bethlehem is found in the book of Micah. Mercy is found in the book of Micah. Samaria, that's a good, I like the name Samaria. Samaria is in the book of Micah. Judah, a Marashthite. One of my favorite words in the Bible, baldness, is found in the book of it's found in the book of Micah. Zion, good and evil. The book of Micah was written about 735 years before Christ during the time of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. He would actually be considered in the time frame of Isaiah. And Isaiah was from the city. Micah was from the town of Marashtha. And he was a countryman right there. And we're going to look at this. The book of Micah has seven chapters. How many chapters does Micah have? Seven, very good. And you'll look through these chapters. Go back to Micah chapter number 1. We're going to briefly go over the book of Micah here. And we're going to see that chapter 1, the book of Micah, reminds us that judgment is coming. Look at verse number 1, if you will. Micah chapter number 1. Some of you haven't found Micah yet. And it's okay, you'll get there. Just act like you know what you're doing, it'll be okay. And here we go, verse number 1. The word of the Lord that came to Micah the Marashthite in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning what? Samaria and? Then verse 2. Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth. Look at verse number 6. Skip ahead to verse number 6. Therefore, I will make Samaria as an heap of the field. Look at verse number 9. For her wound is incurable. Oh my. Chapter 1, you're looking at this. It's saying, the prophet's saying, judgment is coming to Samaria. God's not happy with Samaria. You know the northern kingdom of Israel, often we refer to it as Samaria, and the southern kingdom of Judah. Boy, the northern kingdom had bad king after bad king. They displeased the Lord. The southern kingdom had some good kings and some bad kings. But this Micah is a prophet, and he's prophesying to the northern kingdom there, Samaria, and he's saying, judgment is coming. God's not happy with you. There's a lot we could learn. I don't want God's judgment upon my life. I want the Lord to bless me. How many want the Lord to bless you? So I'm going to be reminded in the book of Micah that I'd like to do things that please the Lord. By the way, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Some of your favorite verses in the Bible. Look with me at Micah chapter number 1, verse number 16. Make thee bald. I love that. Make thee bald and poll thee for thy delicate children. Enlarge thy baldness as the eagle. And God loves baldness, and so praise the Lord. I am thankful to have a little bit of hair, but not much hair. And praise the Lord. Judgment is coming. Look at chapter number 2. Chapter number 2. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. You there, chapter 2? Look at verse number 1. Whoa! Say that with me. Whoa! Some of you, it's early. It's Sunday school. I've had 5 or 6 or 7 cups of coffee already. I got enough energy for us all. But that word, whoa, just try. Just act like you're awake for a second, and you'll get rid of me today. You'll never have to. You might not ever see me again. It's okay. But try whoa. Whoa. Like, say it. Like, try it over here. Just try it. Pastor Stephen over there, you got a little whoa in you, don't you? No, you don't. No, you got goodness and blessings, okay? Here we go. This section. Whoa. That was pretty woeful, okay? Here we go. Let's try the middle section right here.
Whoa.
Yeah, they're asleep over here.
Whoa.
Now they're going, whoa. No. It's whoa. Whoa. If you look at it, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. Look at verse 2. And they covet fields and take them by violence, and houses and take them away, so they oppress a man and his house. Chapter 2 is saying woe to the sinful people. By the way, you're not blessed for being sinful. You understand, with sin, there's consequences. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And in chapter 2, Micah's letting know that Samaria, because of your sin, there's woe to come. There's not blessings, but a curse, you might say. And the prophet Micah right there is warning God's people, and we think about the nation of Samaria, against their sin. Woe is grief, it's sorrow, it's misery, it's heavy. Boy, you know, you see people go out and live a sinful life. And sometimes you think, man, you know, they're living a sinful life. They're having all the fun. No, they're not. Because with sin comes consequences. With sin comes misery and grief. Look at chapter 3, if you will. Look at chapter 3. Oh, this is good. Good. Look at chapter 3, verse number 1. And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? Verse 2. Who hate the good and love the evil? Do you see that statement? Who hate the good and love the evil. It is bad when God's people hate the good and love the evil. It's bad when God's people, not the world, we expect that from the world, but when God's people hate the good and love the evil. And by the way, we see that transforming in front of our lives, that churches for abortion, churches promoting homosexuality, sodomy. And what they're saying is they're fulfilling this in a lot of ways, who hate the good and love the evil. It's bad when God's people hate the good and love the evil. Look at verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets. By the way, the prophets are supposed to be good people. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err. Oh, God's people, maybe a pastor making the people to err. Look at a little bit further, verse number 8. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. Verse 11, halfway through, the priests therefore teach for hire, and the prophets therefore divine for money. Boy, Micah is seeing in the land, God's land, where the prophets, they hate the good and love the evil. It's bad when God's people hate the good and love the evil. By the way, chapter 4, though, changes some things. Look at chapter number 4. Chapter 4, this is good, because it's bad. Judgment is coming. God's people are hating the good and doing the evil. Right now, I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. But the book of Micah is not about discouragement. It's about hope. Look at verse number 1 in chapter 4. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills. The people shall flow into it. Look at verse 2. You got to see this. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. It points us to the future. It points us to a day when, boy, praise God, Jesus makes all things right. It points us to a time when, woo, all the wrongs are going to be okay. And praise God. You know, we sometimes see the transgression of even God's people. We see difficulties. We see struggles. We see maybe a nation like Samaria that's meant to be serving the Lord, not serving the Lord. Sometimes we see the prophets and the preachers are supposed to be preaching the truth and they're preaching errors. And we begin to walk around with the mully grubs and we're in sadness. And boy, but there's coming a time, there's actually hope. And I'm thankful for chapter 4 because there's hope for the future. By the way, the book of Micah points us to that hope. Look at chapter number 5. We love chapter 5. Boy, in chapter 5, starting in verse number 1, now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Woo! Amen. Boy, that's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, going to be born in Bethlehem. Hey, there's hope, there's hope, there's hope when you keep your eyes on the Lord. Boy, there's hope, there's hope, there's hope when you keep your eyes on Jesus. Boy, we get to chapter 6 where we started. What is good? And verse number 1, hear ye now what the Lord saith. Get to chapter number 6, verse number 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Will the Lord, verse number 7, will the Lord be pleased with 10,000s of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? Some of you would like to. You'd be like, woo, got rid of him. And praise, that's bad. That's not good. That's not going to please the Lord, getting rid of your firstborn right there. And shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And this is the lesson this morning. This is the truth. What is good? And here in chapter number 6, verse 8, he hath showed thee, O man. Let's read chapter 6, verse number 8 together again. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The book of Micah probably gives us the best definition of good. And we know we're not saved by our good works. Praise the Lord. It's Jesus Christ. But you notice a thing right here. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? You know, there's some requirement. I like that word requirement. This is not a suggestion. It's required. Praise God for the Christian workers. Boy, I praise God. You know, the ensemble this morning, wonderful job. Wonderful job. The piano playing, is that a cello? Was that a tambourine? What was that was played there? It was a flute? A viola. Okay, it was one of those neat instruments right there. I loved it. It was beautiful right there. And I'm sure that you have some requirements for the students to be a part of the ensemble. And praise Lord. They're not suggestions, they're requirements. And it's not if you would like to do this, you're required to do this. And praise God for workers. We know moreover is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And we look at this, God's laying some things down. He said, hey, you have hope. Yeah, there's bad, there's transgression, there's difficulties, struggles all around us, but you have hope. Your hope is in Jesus. Now let's clarify our minds. Hey, walk humbly with your God. It's required of you to do good here. You ought to live for the Lord. It's required. Look at the middle part of that. The Lord require thee, but to do justly. Say that phrase with me. But to do justly. One more time. But to do justly. Part of good is to do justly. You think about the word justly, justice. You're to do what is right. Don't do what is easy, but do what is right. I was reading a biography of a preacher from the past named Tom Malone, and he was considered the preacher from Pontiac, and an amazing church in Michigan. To make a long story short, back in the 1980s, he was in his 70s, he retired. Church was thriving, doing so well, and after he left the church, got a new pastor, and things didn't go so well. The church had a split, and it went from running over 1,000 to running 500, and that preacher decided to leave, and the church dwindled down another couple hundred to 200. That preacher left, it dwindled down to less than 100, and you know, years had gone by, and one of the deacons said, "What are we going to do? We're going to close the doors of the church." And said, "Well, let's call our old preacher, Tom Malone, now close to 80 years of age, and he's retired, still preaching, yes." And they called him up and asked him, would you please come back and take over and pastor the church again? And you imagine, he's tired. He retired. He passed off the work. But praise God, when you read about it, he prayed to the Lord, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what would you do? I want to do what's just. I want to do what's right. I want to do what pleases you, Lord. I'm not going to do the easy thing." He went back there, knocked on doors. Boy, that church grew again and got close to 1,000 again in church. It's a miracle. Praise God, he did justly. But not only to do justly, it says, and to love mercy. Say that phrase with me. And to love mercy. Mercy is treating people better than they deserve to be treated. Mercy. You should be merciful to me this morning. You don't like me this morning, treat me mercifully, please. I need mercy this morning. You know, Pastor Jim, you didn't show much mercy. I didn't have a lot of understanding. And he used to call me when I first met him, and I didn't understand it. He'd always look at me and says, "You know, Matt, you're my fair weather friend." And I thought that was a compliment. And then I realized what he was saying. He was a friend when things are going good. And so you still call me your fair weather friend. That's not very kind. But praise the Lord. To love mercy, to love mercy. By the way, you realize mercy, when was the first time in the Bible mercy's mentioned? It's interesting. It comes in the time of Lot in Genesis 19. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot. It says, and while he lingered. And then it says, the Lord being merciful unto him. Did Lot deserve mercy? No. But God treated him better than he deserved to be treated. Praise God, he's treated me better than I deserve to be treated. I deserve to die and go to hell and burn in hell forever, but he saved my wretched soul. Boy, you know, to do good is to, first of all, to do justly, but also to not only have mercy, but to love mercy. You know, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His compassions fail not, they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Boy, I need God's mercy. You know, in the back in the day of the Civil War, at the end of the Civil War, President Lincoln was speaking to a large crowd from the balcony. And one of the senators, Senator Harlan, said, "What shall we do with the rebels?" And the vindictive crowd said, "Hang them, hang them." And there was Senator Harlan's son, Tad. He turned to his father and said, No, Papa, don't hang them, hang on to them." And there's interest, there's mercy there. And that's important, mercy. We ought to love mercy. The last one is to walk humbly with thy God. To what? Walk humbly with thy God. One more time, to walk humbly with thy God. Humbly, humble is humility. Not lifting up yourself. God is big, we are small. It's not my will, but thine be done. And it's important, as we go down this road of life, it is so important for us to walk humbly. In a humble fashion. Never get the big head. Never think that we have ever arrived. Stay humble. You remember Saul? Saul was not a humble man. Remember King Saul? Boy, King Saul got the big head. And the Bible says, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? We don't like to admit when we're wrong. Do we? I don't like to admit when I'm wrong. Boy, I read an article, and I don't have time to read it, but this man, years ago, he got enamored with Christian rap. And he, you know, you don't know what that is. Okay, that's good. You don't need to know what that is. I don't mean to corrupt you this morning with Christian rap. But he got enamored with, thought, this is good. We're going to reach the world with Christian rap. And after a few years, he began to look at the fruit of Christian rap, and he wrote an article about how Christian rap, you're taking something that's ungodly and you're trying to turn it into something Christian. You can't do that. It's ungodly. It's wicked. And praise God. But he was humbled by that. He humbly looked back and said, I was wrong. Not long ago, I was speaking to a man in our church, Chesapeake Baptist Church in Chesapeake, Virginia. And he said to me, he said, Pastor, this is about a year and 3 months ago. He said, Pastor, he looked at me, we're sitting down, and he said, I think you have a pride problem. And he looked at me. And I don't know about you, but he said that. And I don't like to hear somebody say that about me. I don't like somebody thinking about that me. And welling up inside of me all of a sudden began to get angry, prideful, upset. My flesh gets riled up. And then I started thinking about what I was doing. And I looked at her and said, you know what? You're right, I do. I do struggle with pride. I know I need to be careful with that. By the way, the Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. But you know, in truth, we all struggle with pride every once in a while. Well, maybe you don't, I do. I forgot I'm at Maranatha Baptist Church, not Chesapeake Baptist Church. You guys are practically perfect in every particular way. And so praise the Lord. But I struggle with pride every once in a while. And praise the Lord. I want to do good, to do justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God right there. And you can go to the last chapter, and we got 3 minutes to go to the last chapter. It's important for us to look at this, if you will. Look at chapter number 7. It was worthy of looking at. Chapter 7, verse 1, woe is me. Why don't we say that one time? Woe is me. One more time. Woe is me. And as you go through this, you're going to realize that as you read chapter 7, our hope is not in ourselves, but our hope is in God. And we have a great, great God. And, you know, look at verse number 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. The last chapter reminds us not that we're great, woe is me, but my, we have a great God. We have a great God. And God is a wonderful God that loves you, cares for you, whether you're young or old, whether you're black or white, whether you're rich or poor, whether you live in Chesapeake, Virginia or Shelby, North Carolina. He's a wonderful, wonderful God. Praise God for the book of Micah. It shows us a nation that is terribly in the midst of transgression and judgment is upon it. The prophets, they're calling good evil and evil good. But we have hope. We have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once we see our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, we got to strive our best to do good, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. And then we got to keep our eyes not focused on us, woe is me, but great is our God. Pastor Jim Davidson, thank you for this opportunity to teach Sunday school.